Mass. The 70 years captivity will soon be over. Yet a little while, and the captives shall return to Jerusalem. This is the idea expressed by the Church in all the chants of today's Mass. She ventures not to pronounce the heavenly Alleluia, but all her canticles bespeak jubilation, for in a few days hence, the house of the Lord will lay aside her mourning, and will be keeping the gladdest of her feasts. Introit. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and meet together, all you who love her. Rejoice exceedingly, you who have been in sorrow, that you may leap for joy and be satiated with comfort from her breasts. I rejoiced at the things that were said to me, "We shall go into the house of the Lord." Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, the Church acknowledges that her children deserve the penance they are going through, but she begs that today the hope of the coming divine consolations may refresh their spirits. The full force of the closing word of her prayer is that they may breathe a while. Collect. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that we who are justly afflicted according to our demerits may be relieved by thy comforting grace. The second and third collects are given on the first Sunday of Lent. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Galatians, chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he by the free woman was by promise. Which things are said by an allegory, for these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Agar, for Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the Spirit, so also is it now. But what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. Let us then rejoice. We are children, not of Sinai, but of Jerusalem. Our mother, the Holy Church, is not a bondwoman, but free, and it is unto freedom that she has brought us up. Israel served God in fear. His heart was ever tending to idolatry, and could be kept to duty only by the heavy yoke of chastisement. More happy than he, we serve God through love. Our yoke is sweet, and our burden is light. Footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 30. We are not citizens of the earth. We are but pilgrims passing through it to our country, the Jerusalem which is above. We leave the earthly Jerusalem to the Jew, who minds only terrestrial things, is disappointed with Jesus, and is plotting how to crucify him. We also have too long been groveling in the goods of this world. We have been slaves to sin. And the more the chains of our bondage weighed upon us, the more we talked of our being free. Now is the favorable time. Now are the days of salvation. We have obeyed the Church's call, and have entered into the practice and spirit of Lent. Sin seems to us, now, to be the heaviest of yokes. The flesh, a dangerous burden. The world, a merciless tyrant. We begin to breathe the fresh air of holy liberty, and the hope of our speedy deliverance fills us with transports of joy. Let us, with all possible affection, thank our divine liberator, who delivers us from the bondage of Agar, emancipates us from the law of fear, and making us his new people, opens to us the gates of the heavenly Jerusalem at the price of his blood. The gradual expresses the joy felt by the Gentiles when invited to enter the house of the Lord, which has now become their own. The tract shows God protecting his church, the new Jerusalem, which is not to be conquered and destroyed as was that first one. This holy city communicates her own stability and security to them that are in her, for the Lord watches over both the mother and her children. Gradual. I rejoiced at the things that were said to me. We shall go into the house of the Lord. Let peace be in thy strength, and abundance in thy towers. Tract. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. He shall not be moved forever that dwelleth in Jerusalem. Mountains are round about it. So the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth, now and forever. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus therefore had lifted up his eyes, and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat?" And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, "There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were sat down, in like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost." They gathered up, therefore, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, "This is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world." Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain, himself alone. These men, whom Jesus has been feeding by a miracle of love and power, are resolved to make him their king. They have no hesitation in proclaiming him worthy to reign over them, for where can they find one worthier? What then shall we Christians do, who know the goodness and the power of Jesus incomparably better than these poor Jews? We must beseech him to reign over us from this day forward. We have just been reading in the epistle that it is he who has made us free by delivering us from our enemies. O glorious liberty! But the only way to maintain it is to live under his law. Jesus is not a tyrant, as are the world and the flesh. His rule is sweet and peaceful, and we are his children rather than his servants. In the court of such a king, to serve is to reign. What then have we to do with our old slavery? If some of its chains be still upon us, let us lose no time, let us break them, for the Pasch is near at hand. The great feast day begins to dawn. Onwards, then, courageously to the end of our journey. Jesus will refresh us. He will make us sit down, as he did the men of the gospel. And the bread he has in store for us will make us forget all our past fatigues. In the offertory, the church again borrows the words of David, wherewith to praise the Lord. But today, it is mainly his goodness and power that she celebrates. Offertory. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Sing ye to his name, for he is sweet. What he pleased he hath done, in heaven and on earth. The secret is a prayer for the increase of devotion. We ask it by the merits of the sacrifice at which we are assisting, for it is the source of our salvation. Secret. We beseech thee, O Lord, mercifully regard this present sacrifice, that it may both increase our devotion and advance our salvation. The second and third secrets are given on the first Sunday of Lent. In the communion anthem, the Church sings the praise of the heavenly Jerusalem, which is figured by the Basilica of Holy Cross, as we have already explained. She speaks of the joy of the tribes of the Lord, who are assembled in this venerable temple, and are contemplating, under the graceful symbol of the rose, the divine spouse Jesus. The fragrance of his perfections draws our hearts after him. Communion. Jerusalem, which is built as a city, which is compact together. For thither did the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise thy name, O Lord. The divine mystery of the bread of life has been brought before us, that we might believe and love it. The Church, therefore, in the post-communion, prays that we may have the grace to receive this august mystery with becoming respect and careful preparation. Post-communion. Grant, we beseech thee, O merciful God, that we may sincerely respect and receive with faith thy holy mysteries with which thou daily feedest us. The second and third post-communions are given on the first Sunday of Lent.